Love this podcast? Support this show through the supporter feature from Acast. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Welcome to Ambridge on the Couch, an in-depth look at the Archers with me, Mr. Newbie, making my pod debut, and who had just... I hadn't read that bit.
This is somebody, ladies and gentlemen, who just said, oh my God, there's a script, which was, you know, disheartening, I find.
let's try that again. Welcome to Ambridge on the Couch, an in-depth look at the Archers with me, Mr. Newbie, making my pod debut, and who just had to go off and do a nervous wee before recording, and Lucy Freeman.
That made it sound like do a nervous wee before recording and do Lucy Freeman.
Yes, I also did Lucy Freeman. Shall I start again?
No, please don't. The ladies and gentlemen at home will be sick of hearing that bit.
All right. Before we dive in, let's remind ourselves of what happened last week with Lucy's Week in Ambridge.
We began the week in the Bridge Farm shop where someone finally commented on the prices. Unfortunately, it was horrible Kyle Yates, so we are now completely pro the farm shop, charging £18.72 for a pot of yoghurt. Adam and Brian were in the eco office having a cup of tea and discussing Adam's new job and the fact that he still hasn't told his husband he's handed his notice in when, surprise, Alice fell through the door and asked for the keys to the wine cabinet. If you've just come back from rehab and are trying to keep calm, Adam probably isn't the ideal person for you to talk to be honest. His bewildering vocal style means he sounds heavily sarcastic the whole time. So when he said, oh yeah, we've really missed you, she started packing at once. She popped back to the Aldridge's Rabbit Hutch and announced that she was going to Bath, as it's a good place to detox. It isn't. It's full of winos, microbreweries and students, and I am not sure the Regency Architect is going to be enough to drive you to sobriety. Oh God, Cagney and Flaky are off again. Krusty has roped Phoebe into embarking on a probe into Layla, which is probably more than Roy's managed. Using the magic of the internet, they found a photograph of the school at which she works and correctly identified that the three people at the back that were four times bigger than the little tiny people at the front were the teachers. My God, how does she do it? Lee was very excited that he'd been invited to attend the opening of the new Costa Coffee at Borchester General. He's got his flag and has practiced his curtsy. Don't worry, we haven't been invited either, but we can all see the coverage on the telly and in Hello. And more detective work from Lee, as he has now started pervily spying on horrid Kyle through his window and spotted him bouncing away in his spare bedroom. Lee took photos, as he thought bouncing on the bed together looked fun. Helen said it was special grown-up bouncing and took the photos away, which made Lee sad. Ooh, Alan's back. You remember him? Alan, you know, Alan, the god bloke. Got his collar on back to front. He popped out of church to sit with Alice while she stared into a big black hole. He then decided that as she was fond of big black holes, she should probably go to Nottingham. Brian, in his role as Alice's permanent Uber driver, drove her there, but not before Alice had beseeched Fallon to look after Martha, which Fallon did while marching down to the duck pond and saying, keep calm, but for God's sake, Chris, do something right now. It's all over. Do something, do something. Sadly, Chris never got to say goodbye, as Brian got another job in dropping a bloke at the airport, so he did an early pickup for Alice. Then we had a nice little Rory and Ben chat, two identical voices, but one slightly posher than the other. Brian got into his nursing course. Ben, can you imagine Brian as a nurse? Bloody hell. Ben got into his nursing course, and Rory is planning to escape to London to practice being a bisexualist there. Rory, we are all behind you, mate, but you'll never make it. You'll leave from Hollerton Junction, go round in a big circle and come back. Your phone won't work. Everyone will be swimming. You'll hate it. Meanwhile, the dynamic duo were attempting to break into an influencer's VIP area. Cheeky. The influencer appeared to be a Saab, which is a car what always has its lights on. Anyway, what was possibly supposed to be a hilarious mix-up ensued when Ian thought Adam was having an affair because his self-important knob of a husband had not told him that he had a new job. Ironic that the only time Ian has actually had a sodding inkling that Adam was dabbling in someone else's pony tunnel was the only time he wasn't. Ian is going to go apeshit when he finds out, particularly as he was the one that put the mockers on Ian leaving his job, and quite right too. When Helen bleated on about how good you guys are together, my eyebrows shot up so hard they nearly fell off. A, not the best judge of good relationships in the world, Helen, and B, they bicker constantly and do nothing but complain. But I don't know. At least one of them's not in prison or Nottingham, so I guess that counts as good in Ambridge. The end.
Well, it was very good, that. I've never got to listen to that live before.
Haven't you? Was it very, very exciting? And then you heard all the times I went wrong and I had to edit it out.
You really are a consummate pro. No, we won't tell them about that bit.
Too late. I've told them. All is now revealed. Do you think, Mr. Newbie, that Adam should have told Ian about the new job yet or not? Go.
Yet? He should have told him about 6 weeks ago. It's just an absolute nonsense. I'm not quite sure what he thinks he's achieving by not telling Ian. Is he ashamed of I think possibly he doesn't intend to go through with it, so he doesn't want to complicate matters by saying.
Oh really? You think
Ian.
He's calling his bluff?
No, I'm not sure he's canny enough to do that, but I think in his heart of hearts, possibly he knows or he thinks that he's probably not gonna go anywhere.
Oh.
Perhaps he knows what the script writers have in mind for him. But I think his heart's not really in it. And if he actually says anything to Ian, then he's going to have to, you know, have deep and meaningful talks about the whole thing. And
I think it was the circumstances of his going that, because the reason he's going is because Brian found out that he'd been arfinching money out of the...
It was just
account,
resting in his account, Lucy. Yeah. He wasn't stealing anything.
But I think that's why. He doesn't want to admit that. So he didn't tell Ian that he'd had a blazing row with Brian.
No.
And to the extent to which it had got so heated that he'd ended up saying, right, no, I'm off then. So now he can't actually do it. He can't.
Right, because so he thinks if he actually coughs to all of that with Ian will think he's a massive throbber.
Yeah.
Which he is.
He is. Absolutely.
But and he can't face having that.
Yeah.
Honestly, I can't care about Adam.
Circumstances forbid me caring about Adam.
I honestly think that when they first are we allowed to be a bit,
what?
How can I put this, critical about the actors, or is that not?
Yes, as long as you're not the one that has to interview with them when they come on the show.
No, well, I think that's there's slim chances of that, to be honest.
Okay.
I've only been out of the cupboard once in the last 3 months anyway. So
are you blinking? Have you managed to adjust to the light yet?
I am. I'm really impressed with the studio, though. So this is where all the money goes, obviously.
Yep.
Because I'm not getting any of it in the cupboard.
Don't touch that thing in the
Could
corner.
Could I have another book?
Another book
Pilgrim's
of what?
Progress is great and everything, but I've read it 19 times now and...
Harriet might have some. She has some adult literature in the corner. But don't touch that thing next to it.
Did she get that from Ocado?
Yeah. I made her turn the appliance off before she left because it buzzes when I'm trying to concentrate.
But I think when they first employed whoever it is that does Adam, he did it like that and nobody said anything out of politeness.
He's never been able to shift out of gear.
Right, and then all of a sudden they were a couple of months down the road and that was it. He was stuck. It's like the wind changed and he was stuck. Like
and they're all going, do you think we should tell him? No, don't. It's too late. It's too late.
But that thing you said about him being permanently sarcastic, that was exactly what came into my mind this week. I don't know if you remember, on the Mary Whitehouse Experience, they used to have a character called Ray.
Yes, yeah.
Who was permanently sarcastic. Oh, great. Yeah. 100% pay rise. I better not tell the others. They'll all be really jealous. And that is Adam. He's permanently sarcastic. You can't take him seriously about anything at all.
But he was just making poor Alice so much worse. Everything he said,
worse.
I was thinking, shush, just stop talking, you idiot.
Oh, you poor thing. What terrible problems you've got. God, that must be awful. How does he? He must get punched all the time. He's got a season ticket at Casualty because he's down there getting his nose fixed every week. He's just awful. I hope he does leave. I hope he goes to Nottingham.
It was a bit of a weird... We always say this. It was a bit of a weird week this week. It wasn't funny. I mean, I did genuinely... When Alice came back, like, ta-da! It's me!
I just need the keys.
Yeah, exactly. I did whoa! Because it was like, what the fuck? What's she doing here? You know. Especially when they were tiddling around. Shall we have a cup of tea, Adam? Yes, all right. Some of those biscuits. And Alice is like, hello! And, you know, that was quite good. I quite like that. What do you reckon about Layla? What's Layla's secret?
Because the whole internet sleuthing thing was a bit half-assed, wasn't it?
Yeah.
But hang on, I'm just checking. I've made notes and everything here. Here we go. Here's my Roy Layla Kirsty. Oh, now what I do think about Layla is that she's going to be supplanted. She's going to be replaced in any of it, regardless of whether she's real or not. There's definitely a Roy Kirsty thing brewing.
Oh, that's been brewing for about 8 years.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Is this not new?
It's on a low simmer. I thought, oh good, we're finally going to get somewhere with this storyline. Because Roy has always been hovering around in the background like a fart in a phone box. For as long as Kirsty has been...
In his anorak.
Yeah. As long as Kirsty has been there, Roy has been there. They are allegedly best friends in the same way that Ian and Helen are allegedly best friends.
That's come up again this week and it just does not come true.
No, because they have absolutely nothing to do with each other for months on end until...
And nothing in common.
Yeah, yeah. They're both quite annoying. But Kirsty...
I quite like Ian. I think he's all right. It'd be fine without Adam.
Well, that's only because you see him in sharp relief against Adam.
Yeah,
on his own.
Yeah.
He might
Adam would make anybody look good,
I know,
wouldn't he?
Yeah. Wait till you meet Hazel Woolley. There's something nice about having a platonic relationship, and they are genuinely friends, Krusty and Roy. It has been sort of dangled before us, so to speak, for quite some time now, for many years. And every time anything happens, we think, oh, now they're going to get together, now they're going to get, and then they don't.
Don't get excited. I mean, excited, I think, is probably a slightly strong word for a relationship.
Don't go, oh, which is probably...
My feelings about a relationship between Roy and Kirsty. I tell you what I had forgotten, if indeed I...
Ever knew it.
I think I must have known at some level, but I just blocked it out as being too unlikely, was Roy and Kate.
Yeah. Well, Phoebe is the product, isn't she?
That was obliquely referenced this week. And I thought, who are they to? Oh my God, it's Kate. Yeah. And how, I mean, did Kate, was Kate a completely different person before she went away to
Kate's
Africa?
Kate's had several incarnations, actually. She was a juvenile delinquent. Then she was, spoiled juvenile delinquent. You'll be staggered to hear. And then hippie. She was like the female version of... Stompy or Stinky or Swampy, that's him.
Swampy.
Stinky. Well, he probably was Stinky, living in a tunnel for years. And then she came back and was... then she sort of rehabilitated Roy.
It's a strong word, I think.
Yeah. Because he was a racist. Then he wasn't a racist.
So who was a racist?
Roy.
Was he?
Yes. Roy,
oh, come on.
Alan, you know, okay, there's a lot of things happening this week, weren't there? And I did think, crikey, that's quite a lot for Mr. DB to cope with. Have you met Alan Franks before, the vicar? Yes, of course, haven't you?
Yeah, okay. Many times. But I didn't know about his daughter, Amy.
Yes, Amy is a midwife. Has she been in the show? We like Amy. She has been in the show.
Right, Alan's one of my questions.
Wife is black. I think she's from the Caribbean. Amy is mixed race.
Oh, okay.
Everybody likes her. Yeah. She's very sensible. I think she helped Helen out when Helen had preeclampsia with Henry, I think, possibly. Uh-huh. Or I may have got that wrong, but no doubt everyone will write in and shout at me. And yes, she is an all-round good egg so far.
She's a midwife as well. So she's got some medical experience.
Which is why it makes sense that this would be where
they'd send Alice.
Yes.
She's an all-round good egg and has got a head screwed on and some...
Yes. They said Amy and Alice had been friends. I couldn't remember that at all. I couldn't remember them being friends in the slightest, but that quite often happens in Ambridge, as we know. So Alan Franks is married to Usha, who...
Yes, I'm aware of this, although I've never heard her.
No, she. I don't know what she's... Well, you have heard her because she's on every single Radio 4 afternoon play.
Oh, really?
So if you just listen, you'll have heard her thousands of times.
But presumably she's not being Usha in those plays.
No, she's not being an Asian solicitor every day. No.
She just pops up as Usha.
Here I am again. Does anyone need a rule
The importance
writing?
Of being earnest. Yeah.
That's right. When she first moved to the village, Roy didn't like her because she is Asian. And he had some very, very unpleasant friends at the time. And he dropped dog poo through her letterbox.
Jesus. Really?
Yep. And it went to court. And
the dog poo did?
Yep.
In a box.
And then...
you think she'd have just binned it, really.
And then so Kate sort of got hold of him and he rediscovered his niceness and stopped being a white supremacist.
I can't imagine
prick.
Roy ever being anything but... Well, I mean, the
sadly, it was the only interesting thing he's ever done.
Yeah,
and
right.
It's unfortunate it was that.
Gee, what a thing for that to be. But I was, having been reminded of Roy and Kate, I this image popped into my head of Liz Taylor with Granville from Open All Hours. It's just, I mean, Kate can't have been then who she is now because she wouldn't.
Yeah, no, you know, she wouldn't. Yeah,
she wouldn't go anywhere near him.
Although
she'd be touching
him
with a sterilised barge pole.
Because Roy is safe, now he's not being a massive, you know.
Racist, yeah.
Massive white supremacist. He is nice. and so Kirsty has a soft spot for him. Kate has a soft... There was even talk last year of she seemed to be... Oh, because she was trying to move back in with him before she moved in with Mrs. Woolley. She was sort of trying to wheedle her way back in. And I think she does, because he is fundamentally now he's not an arse. He is a nice bloke. And I think they've all got a bit of a soft...
So dull, though.
Yeah.
Anyway.
He's no Neil Carter, let's face it.
No,
he's not the sex god that is Neil Carter.
What
I want to know is Kate still in that yurt? Because we don't know where she's living now, do we?
She had moved to the yurt, and we haven't heard that she's moved back.
And then she tried to move in with Jacob, who rightly said, get back and...
Right, yeah. So, was that driven by the yurt then? Did she suddenly wake up one morning in her yurt with the dew forming on her nose and think, sod this, I'm going to move in with Jacob?
And also, are Jazza, I don't know why I'm asking you, like you've got some sort of hotline to the Archer script team, but are Jazza and Tracy broken up now? Or did they make back up?
No.
After they had that... But they had that big row about the motorbike, didn't they? And she said he was a maniac and he said she was boring.
Did they not make up after that?
No. But was that
I remember them making up.
Really?
I think so.
You're like Harriet, though. You're all sentimental and you like the gooey bits. So,
I do, very much.
Yeah. So you probably just imagined that. You filled in that bit. I don't think it's happened yet. I'm not sure that they are.
But, I mean, they didn't explicitly... Normally, with those two, when they were in the story a lot... Three times a week, they'd get together and split up.
Yeah,
and it was
true.
Always very clear.
Yeah,
which
and then they wouldn't
happened.
Tell anybody that they got back together, and then they wouldn't tell anybody that they split
exactly,
up.
Yeah. So they were keeping the whole thing secret for reasons.
Yeah. Yes.
To get back to the original point of this discussion, which was Layla.
Oh yes.
Long, long ago now.
Yes.
I think Layla is fake, and they will take that photograph that they found and show it to Roy, and he'll say, "Ha ha ha! That's not Layla. This is Layla," and have a photograph of some
stunning
Instagram influencer type,
probably called
Saab, with a mojito somewhere.
Yes,
called Saab, Saab. And the whole thing will come out, and then he will fall into Kirsty's arms. The end.
You are such a soppy sod. You just want everyone to get matched up, paired off, and then that'll be the end of it. Yes.
Except for Neil and Shula. I don't want them to get paired up and matched off.
No.
I would literally puncture my own eardrums with a ballpoint pen if I thought that was going to happen, so that I wouldn't have to listen to it.
Well, that's unpleasant. You've had an email. Would you like to hear your email?
I have not had an email.
You have. Normally we discourage people from writing to you because we're worried that you might write to them back and say, help, help, get me out. But anyway.
does this email... offer me freedom in some way?
No, it doesn't.
Okay.
It's from Tom Peach, who's clearly decided that as Harriet and I are basically sexually harassing him on air, he's decided to approach you instead because you're seen as the voice of sanity. He said, "Dear Mr. Newbie, I hope you aren't too weirded out this week with random storylines and pop-up characters. I.e., is Kyle also the Brummy Doorman? He seemed very similar in voice."
Well, about that.
Yes.
He slipped into Liverpudlian briefly.
Yes, he did. Yes, I thought that.
He did an "ich" instead of an "it."
Yeah. I noticed that as well.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So he's not that Brummy, I suspect.
Okay.
The actor who plays him.
He said...
Please continue with the letter, sorry.
He said, "It was strangely sad and affecting to hear Alice crash back in. And when she said, 'I'm here to say goodbye,' I thought the worst." Ooh! Tom, that's depressing. I hadn't even thought of that.
Oh, no. That didn't cross my mind either.
"And Helen, the cyber troll slayer superhero. I had imagined Helen inviting Kyle round for a makeup dinner, then serving him the family bunny and saying, 'Do you want me to carve?' It all felt a little Wolf Creek. Other than that, Australia continues in lockdown because of our vaccine strollout and infected limo drivers. It's a good job we still have the beach and the Archers, or we'd all be going madder than Adam. Lots of love, Tom." I'm glad he said lots of love to you. He never says lots of love to us. Well, to be fair, he's probably quite scared about doing that.
Oh, I think he recognises that I need some love.
Yeah.
I think is what it is.
Stop trying to get the
Lucy.
Sympathy vote, honestly. I like the
phrase. Lucy. I wish some more of our listeners would love me.
Oh, God. I like the phrase madder than Adam.
Listeners. Don't write to them. Madder than Adam, yes. That's really
madder than Adam.
Mad.
Ooh, I tell you what, I was
madder
than
Adam.
I'll
tell you what I did. I'll tell you what I thought, what that's just reminded me of. Mm. I thought the whole Helen Lee and Kyle thing. So I was on record last week as saying that I hope that Lee remembered that he's a karate instructor and went round and sorted Kyle out.
Yeah.
But actually, I thought the way they resolved it, and I think it is resolved now. I can't see that one coming back.
No.
The way they resolved it was actually really good because Helen.
Yeah.
And actually, Lee could have taken. I don't think he did take photographs. Actually, did he? That was Helen's.
Yeah.
She added that to the story, which was quite good, I thought.
Yeah.
But so Lee didn't take that information to Kyle himself. He brought it to Helen so that she could sort it out for herself.
Empower herself to do it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I thought she was bloody brilliant throughout the whole thing.
Mm.
It must have been terrifying for her, given her not too distant history
to be threatened by somebody
I mean literally threatened and that I mean my parents were bullied and stalked and mobbed by their next door neighbor for years
but
he had a heart attack and died, so you know it's
happy ending,
it's not all bad. But he was awful for years, he did it, and they tried to get the police involved, and it was all far too difficult to prove, and so on and so forth. But it completely tarnished their lives for years.
Yeah.
It was horrible for them, and I could absolutely see which way this whole thing with Kyle was going.
Yeah.
And it must have been really, really terrifying for her. But she dealt with it all fantastically, I thought, and especially at the end there. She didn't antagonise him, but she did, tell him which way the wind was blowing. And
she just put boundaries, didn't she? And she said,
I want
this to stop. Yeah. Leave us alone. We'll leave you alone.
And there was a nice little bit that they added after we'd heard the conversation, actually, when she said that she'd told him that she'd delete the photos.
Yeah.
If it was clear that they were going to be all right.
Yeah.
It wasn't that she was trying to be nasty, but she just wants to be left alone.
Yeah.
And I thought the whole thing was done really well. And what had sort of started out as a really quite worrying storyline turned out really nice.
Mm.
Well done, writers. I expect they're all listening. They do listen, don't they?
Obviously. Every word. Yeah. Never miss an episode. I don't understand why Chris cannot just drive to Nottingham with Martha and see Alice.
Well, does he He's very confused, isn't he? Does he really want to? I'm not sure. I'm not sure he does. And I certainly don't think that... Because everything that Alice said about Chris and Martha was an afterthought.
Yeah.
And I think that's probably quite accurate. I don't have a lot of experience with alcoholism, but it does seem to me that it's very much about me, self.
Yeah, absolutely.
Me, myself, and I, you know. Yeah. And she was nudged into it by Fallon.
Mm. But whoever it was,
I wouldn't mind
that
being nudged into it by Fallon, I have to say. But she was nudged into it by Fallon, but it was all very much an afterthought. So I don't think she wants them, and I wonder if he's realised that.
Yeah, and he doesn't want to have that told to him explicitly. He'd rather just pretend that there was a chance that it might be all right.
He's just sort of quietly...
He was all over the shop, wasn't he? He didn't know what he wanted.
No. I can completely understand that. Yeah. I felt really, really sorry. I haven't always felt sorry for him. Mm. But I did this week because he's in a hole and he can't do anything about any of it really. It's all completely out of his control. Which is, you know, when you're in that sort of situation, the lack of control in some ways is the worst bit.
Was it who was it who said you can't do rehab unless you're doing it for yourself?
Yeah, it's absolutely.
Was that who said that? I think it might have been Alan. He occasionally says sensible things.
Oh no, this week.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, he did. That was Alan. You're quite right. Alan, yeah. He said something along those lines. You've got, you know, you can't do it for anybody else.
I tell you That's what, he needs to go for some yoga or something.
The
moaning and groaning of him sitting down on the grass. I thought, bloody hell.
Yeah. I've made a note about the dad noises. That was that was really...
I thought, Flip, you're not climbing into a pit. You're just sitting down. God.
It's the weather, you know. It gets into his knees. God love him.
He rides a motorbike, you know, that Alan.
Not anymore, he doesn't.
No.
Not unless it's one of those trike things which you can recline on.
Well, it's a mobility scooter, but he calls it that.
Have we seen The Last of Alice?
No. No.
You reckon?
No, we can't have two Aldridge daughters not there.
So here's a general question. Mm-hmm. Who has... Debbie was never really in it, was she? She was only ever a...
No, she was a huge character.
Was she?
Yeah.
Because I was thinking about this, and I'm thinking about whether characters voluntarily... Well, obviously none of it's voluntary because it's all written down for them. But whether characters ever voluntarily leave the show or whether something has to happen to them. So, for instance, so Kate, she left for a couple of years?
Yeah.
Right. So she, but was there always the intention that she'd be coming back? Or was it she was, okay.
Yes. But there was the Tuckers, Roy's father, Mike Tucker. Was the Ambridge milkman, and he was very popular. Took a bit of getting used to, but he was very popular. And he was one of the older male characters that kind of mellowed as the years went by. So he stopped being so quite so annoying and became nicer. And he was an extremely sort of integral part of the village. He was Eddie's best friend, and then about 4 years ago now. He married Vicky Tucker, played by lovely Rachel Atkins, and they had a...
Well, she was already Vicky Tucker before she married him.
I know, it was a hell of a coincidence. And she...
I can imagine that sort of thing going on in a place like Ambridge, mind you.
They had a baby called Bethany, universally known as Bethanoy.
This is Roy's father?
Yep.
A few years ago?
Yes, exactly. Ooh. That was the issue. And Bethany has Down syndrome.
Okay.
And it was a storyline about older couples having
that
children.
Rings a bell now. Yeah.
And they moved to Birmingham to find better special schools for Bethany, and they never came back. And Roy will occasionally mention, "I'm going to go see my dad and Bethany."
Yeah.
But Mike was a hugely important part of the village, and he just disappeared.
Do we know? Did the actor? want to leave, or the writers?
The actor is extremely irritated and very hurt that he left.
Oh my goodness! Yeah. So why did they do that then?
That's a bit of a contentious topic.
Oh, is there some snash about this? Is there?
Well, you would need to speak to the editor at the time, who was a gentleman named Sean O'Connor. And the common consensus is that instead of pursuing the Bethany storyline, he made the whole focus around the Rob and Helen storyline, because they wanted to bring in lots of new listeners and have a very, very dramatic storyline.
I see.
So they were
jettisoned. So they couldn't just ditch the Bethany. They couldn't just put Bethany on the back burner. So they decided to.
Yeah, just ship the whole family out. Yeah. Same thing happened with Nigel Pargeter. Brutal. When he went off the roof. The actor didn't know it was happening. They record around 3 months in hand, and he wasn't told much before that he was going to be taking a header off the roof.
Oof.
Yeah.
Brutal.
It is brutal. Yeah.
But it is potentially providing opportunities for me to be in the Archers one day.
What as? Do you want to be the milkman, or do you want to be the Laird of Lower Loxley?
Can I not be both?
Not really, no. They don't lend themselves, to be honest.
I'd probably say I think I'm probably more of a milkman than a Laird.
Plus, I wouldn't fancy Mince Casey smashing you over the head, because he'd be jealous of you and Lizzie.
No, Mince is a pussycat.
You think?
Yeah, I do.
I reckon he's a proper hard man.
Do you? Yeah. You don't get anywhere in the abattoir business unless
you're... I imagine him looking like Mike Reed from...
Yeah, yeah. From Run Around.
Yeah, that's what I imagine. Yeah. Exactly what I imagine Vince looking like.
In a nice velour tracksuit, you mean?
Yeah, and that gold chest hair and the old gold chain glinting in the
gold
chest hair.
Gold chest hair?
No, gold chain glinting in the chest hair. Yeah.
I see. And thick plastic rimmed spectacles.
Yes. Yeah, okay. No, that is how I see Vince.
But that's how I'm going to see Vince from now on as well.
Oh, sorry.
Because I sort of... He's not as old as he sounds. We've had this discussion in recent weeks, haven't we? He's in his late 40s.
I think it's because Lizzie always sounds so girlish, and you kind of imagine... whenever she says how old she is on the show, I think, blimey! It's sort of I have to adjust it in my head every time, because she, as an actress, she looks young, and as an actress, she definitely sounds young.
Saying that she sounds young is a very diplomatic way of saying that she always sounds like she's about to have an orgasm.
There was some BBC recording.
She's permanently excited.
There was a BBC recording of which one? Persuasion, and she played one of the Musgrave girls who are the single. No, was it Persuasion? Yeah, it was Persuasion. It was some of the single most irritating characters in literature ever, and. They're supposed to be about 17, and she does this really four. And then you think, she was about 35 when she recorded that. It's incredible how her voice is so young and light. It really is. She's got an amazing voice, I think. Which Harriet does very well, almost to the extent of being better than Elizabeth herself. But anyway.
Now, I've said this quite explicitly, that I think Elizabeth is very good, but she's not as good at being Elizabeth as Harriet is.
No, Kate's not as good at being Kate as Harriet is either.
I don't know.
Maybe they are.
Do you think they're
Harriet?
Looking to their laurels slightly?
That's why Harriet won't let me talk to Alison Pettit, who plays Elizabeth, because there's no such person as Alison Pettit. It's Harriet.
Yes. Yeah,
bloody
yeah.
hell.
It must be a bit difficult for those two actresses to have Harriet looking over their shoulder like that.
I know.
Because if you think Roy's dad was expendable. Yeah. Then they could be got rid of, and nobody.
There's a knock at their door, and they look through the letterbox, and there's Harriet squinting back at them. I'm listening to you.
You could be ditched from the series, and nobody would ever know.
Do you know what? We can say what we like about Harriet, because there is no way she's going to listen to this.
unless she gets tipped off by one of the listeners. Listeners, listeners, don't say anything to Harriet, right? And we'll give you all the good goss.
Yes.
Not that I know anything.
I was going to say, NB, there is no good goss. We shout things through every now and again. What do you want?
Like shut up or turn the light off.
Stop screaming, things like that. Oh, God.
It's funny because it's true.
Right, anything else happen? No.
We discussed Rory and Ben and...
Rory seems more desperate than anyone I've ever met to get out of Ambridge.
Is this London thing new, though?
Yes.
Yes, I thought so. That hadn't been mentioned before.
Relatively new, you know.
And they also slipped in Ben's acceptance into nursing school.
Yes,
there,
I know.
That, you'd think they'd have made more of that.
Yes, there would have been a, your letter's come, Ben. You must check exactly. It, da-da-da-da-da. Nothing, yeah, no.
Considering the fuss that they made about
yes.
it in the run-up to it.
It is the strangest thing. Sometimes it's a bit like bird watching. You know those... this is a really weird analogy. You know those pictures they show you of... they show you. The internet. The internet shows you pictures of... the people that run the
world
internet...
The world is a confusing place for you, Lucy, isn't it?
The people that run the internet show you pictures yes. of some poor bugger up a mountain top trying uh-huh. to focus on a bald eagle that's 300 miles away uh-huh. with a super, super, super sonic binoculars.
And
there's like a mountain lion sitting right behind him and he hasn't seen it. Yeah, That's what the Archers, listening to the Archers is like sometimes. Because we're all squinting at something miles away, trying to anticipate what might happen if this happens, that happens, that happens. In the meantime, there's an enormous piece of news and we've just, no one's
They've
told us.
Slipped it past us with, exactly. with us barely noticing.
I'm amazed we actually heard the explosion at Lower Loxley, at Grey Gables, to be honest. They didn't just go, oh, by the way, we're out of butter and the hotel's exploded, you know.
So I really hope that Rory fails his A levels, and that's a terrible thing to say.
I don't want him to go. No.
I don't want him to go.
No, I don't want him to be a Debbie, and that he's occasionally a doo 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 every time she dials in. I don't like it.
But I can imagine for him, as you said in your monologue, that you didn't quite say this actually, but I'm about to going to London. Surely would have to be better for him than staying in Ambridge.
Oh God, yes.
There's not a big bisexual scene in Ambridge, let's face it.
There's the pub. Yes. That's not very bisexual, is it?
No, I don't think so. Unless you want to crack on and try and convert Kyle, maybe.
Or maybe Jolene and Kenton, possibly.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know.
I don't.
Slightly too interested, though. Yeah.
That's just Jolene's voice that does it.
Oh, the Cadbury's Caramel Rabbit.
I have heard Kenton once on New Year's Day.
Oh, have you? Was he shouting through a megaphone? He generally is.
He could have been, because it was at the New Year's the New Year's party or fete or whatever.
We tend to hear Kenton like... That's how he knows Kenton.
That was a very good impression of somebody talking to a megaphone some distance away. This could be a second career for you. I say second career, about a 14th career for you.
Does it pay? If it does, I'll do that one.
But the whole thing about Nottingham. So Rory's bisexual, right?
Yes.
And Ben's definitely rabidly heterosexual and thinks about sex pretty much the entire time, as far as I can make out.
But he better stop that if he's a nurse. Ooh.
When Lucy. Why?
Sorry.
The thing about Nottingham is, and it used to, there was, it could have been an urban myth, but it was a widely held opinion or a widely held fact-ish, that when I was a young man, that Nottingham, because of the courses that they ran at the university, had a really, really out of whack ratio of women to men in the city.
Well, that's no good for Rory, is it?
Well, no, because he's bisexual, and Ben is...
Oh, I see, so they can divide and conquer.
Exactly. So I think...
Right,
And so the place was absolutely full of young women. And as a young man who was interested in young women, it was very much,
a, keen
very much a good place
to be. A keen enthusiast of young women, you were.
Exactly. So I think actually Nottingham would be a really, really good place, assuming that nothing's changed in the last years.
I didn't understand.
A really good place for Ben and Rory to go to.
5 years, isn't it, since you left?
Give or take.
Yeah. Yes. I didn't understand. I thought they were in Nottingham. You're right. We've just fallen off your chair.
No, my leg's going to sleep, so I was hoping to rearrange things, but okay. I'll leave it.
My God, you've got very heavy, noisy legs, I must say that. Because 1 minute he was saying, let's go to Nottingham to go and see Alice, as if she wants to see
those two. She'd be delighted to see them,
but anyway. And then they were at that nightclub, and I didn't know they were going. No one told me they were going. Oh, okay. But then he said, we've come all the way from Nottingham. Is that just because Nottingham was uppermost in his mind?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
Yeah. Unless they had been to Nottingham, knocked on Amy's door and been sent away with a flea in their ear.
What the hell are you doing here, you couple of prunes? The last thing she wants is you. Well, that's what I'd have said. Also, I did think Rory is either got a bit of a death wish or he's very sure of himself. Because if I was going to make a pass at Birmingham bouncer in the hope that he was bisexual, that could have gone really wrong, couldn't it?
Well, I think the implication was that Rory has quite a sensitive gaydar,
right?
And knew that this bloke was either bisexual or gay before he. There must, I mean, yeah, as a middle-aged heterosexual man, obviously that. There could have been massive clues in that part of the script, and I'd never ever have picked them up. And it's not just that I never ever pick up anything about anything ever at all. But
which makes you ideally suited to discuss to be on this podcast. I never pick up anything about anything ever.
but Rory obviously did pick something up. But he is very sure of himself.
He is.
He's shown that a few times.
Yeah.
Recently.
Yeah.
That he's very comfortable in his own skin, and I think the implication. Thank God for that,
because there are so few of them in Ambridge that are.
Yeah, no, he's remarkably well balanced when you consider where he's come from.
You have very few, with the male characters in Ambridge. You either have the childish, oh, aren't they silly men? Look, they've cooked a thing wrong. Type, you know, Tony and Neil and David and everything
Eddie.
Else. You know, they're good in wellies, but take them out of wellies and they're buggered. And then you have the confident ones are always nasty. Like Matt Crawford, you don't know him, I don't think, was very confident. Brian's very confident. Yeah. You know, you can't just have a nice, confident in his own skin bloke. You've either got to be cocky or a disaster, and there's very few that are actually in between, and Rory seems to be.
Well, I think there's a heavy implication that he's quite a good-looking young man well. He looks a bit like he's a young Patrick Duffy, I think.
Oh, I thought of him as like Jude Law, but with more hair.
Oh yeah, no, that would fit as well. Yeah. No, the voice would fit better with a
more hair though. None of that.
Yes, less male pattern balding.
Yeah. Fewer hair plugs at his.
It does. I do. I am enormously encouraged by Jude Law's loss of hair, I have to say. Because it gives the rest of us a chance. Anyway, moving on.
Yeah, very little joy this week, in any sense of the word.
Oh, no, but Kyle.
Joyless, he called her.
Yeah, that was really below the belt.
And also completely inaccurate.
Oh,
Joy,
honestly.
Joy is the least joyless person. Joy is full of joy, usually about wildly inappropriate things.
Bubbling
but she is,
over
but
with
she
joy.
Is bubbling over with it, everything.
Yeah. And
stupid man.
So I honestly, let's you know, accuracy is not high on Kyle's list of priorities.
Not really.
But he also accused Helen of getting him booted from the WhatsApp group, and it wasn't her at all.
It wasn't,
was it?
No.
She didn't know anything about any of it, actually.
No.
Honestly, some people.
I know. Awful, awful man. Do you want to have a bash at the script now?
Oh, no. Right, so...
You're right, what have you done now?
No, I am all right, but my screensaver's come on in the meantime.
Okay. Can we edit this bit out?
No.
And now we go to Borchester Police Headquarters, where we tune in to an ongoing investigation. Damn it.
Yes.
rural policing is a challenge with fewer bobbies on the beat. Borchester Police Force has taken the ambitious step of embedding an undercover officer in the village of Ambridge to undertake day-to-day surveillance. Let's listen to Police Constable Dobson as he reports back to DCI Jane Tennerlady. Come! Ah, Dobson, in you come.
Morning, darling.
Dobson.
Sorry, Gov. Just showing you how I do it. I feel as if Terry Two Phones has taken me over a bit.
All right, Daniel Day-Lewis. I appreciate your commitment to the job, but in here, you're Dobson, and take that ridiculous wig off.
That's my own hair, ma'am.
All right, keep it on for now then. Right, let's have an update. What's happening with the illegal cabbing?
Well, ma'am, Mr. Grundy seems to spend a lot of time driving a local resident to Darrington. They stop at the house and stare at it. Then the resident, a Mrs. Snell, gets out and jeers.
Jeers?
Yes, ma'am. Last time she shouted, you wouldn't know a proscenium arch from your arse, you silly old cow. Then she got back in the car and they sped off.
Aha, sped?
Well, 35. That's speeding for the limo. Any faster than that, the windscreen wipers fly off.
But he's being paid for this?
Only in the form of tips, ma'am. There was one occasion when Mr. Grundy picked up a Ms. Sabrina Thwaite, and at the conclusion of the journey, Miss Thwaite got in the back of the limo for about 10 minutes.
And then what happened?
The back axle fell off. Then they both exited the vehicle, and no money changed hands.
Ah, we're going to need more than this, though, Dobson. That village is a lawless state. What about the drunk?
Ah, Mrs. Carter. Well, there's only been one drink driving incident.
The one in which Sergeant Burns intervened.
Is it still Sergeant Burns then, ma'am?
Yes, and that's pushing it, frankly. Why?
Well, only his helmet says Champion Detective Harrison. I thought there'd been a promotion.
Oh, for God's sake, he's written that himself.
I did wonder why Champion was spelled wrong.
It was like when he wrote Watch Out Baddies down the side of the Mondeo. That's why we took it off him and gave him the pedal car. We've told him it's an eco initiative and he's quite happy. So what happened with the intoxicated driver?
He got in the front with her. There was some confused bumping. Then he drove her home and no further action was taken.
So we let her off. Oh, I bet she was ecstatic.
As a newt, ma'am.
No more llama theft?
All llamas have remained in situ to the best of my knowledge, ma'am. Oh, there was a suspected abduction and kidnapping.
Oh, that's more like it.
PE teacher, Adrian York.
Not Porky Yorkie.
Dunno, ma'am. Big lad, though. Abducted by Eddie Grundy, found at Grange Farm in back of limo at 2 a.m. Left on grass.
And then what? They robbed him and left him outside to die of exposure.
No, they cooked him a nice breakfast, put him in Edward Grundy's suit and drove him to his wedding.
Oh, for God's sake. Something is going on there. I just know it is.
I know, ma'am. We can't be caught out again. We'll look like fools. We had the custard stabbing and then the hotel gets blown up by a bunch of slave traders. That's two major incidents in 4 years and we never saw either of them coming. The biggest thing that's happened in Downton in the last decade is someone spray painting the word bum on the postbox.
That's why you're in there, Dobson. Feet on the ground, eyes everywhere.
Arms in the air. Wave them like I just don't care.
Dobson, is there anything you think we ought to be keeping eyes on?
I did suspect there was a gigolo in the village.
A gigolo? This is Ambridge, not the Riviera. Who?
Local so-called karate instructor, ma'am. He goes to the Laurels twice a week and all the old ladies come out bow-legged and breathless.
Well, that's worth looking into. Other than that, there's nothing else to do but just keep your eyes peeled. Anything else you need in terms of cover?
No, just a new bottle of David Beckham for men. Oh, one of my phones won't charge anymore. I can't just have one. That'll mean I'm just Terry Phone.
Yes, I see. Get a burner from the cupboard and cut down on the emojis, Dobson. I don't want to see all those rainbows and praying hands when you're sending me surveillance updates.
Sorry, Gov.
Right, off you go. Back to your rural idyll. I can't help thinking this is a hopeless task. Ideally, we'd have the whole village tapped, but we'd never get sign-off for that. So that's that. There'll be another podcast up next week with Harriet back again, having been expelled from Cornwall because of a snapped Speedo incident. Anyway, subscribe to us on iTunes and you'll never miss an episode. If you'd like to get in touch with us, you can email...
Oh, ambridgeonthecouch@gmail.com.
We are...
On Ambridge.
On Twitter. Or you can follow Mr. Newbie on Twitter.
At NewbieCouch. And in the meantime, it's goodbye from all of us and have a lovely week.
Bye.
Bye.
That was very good.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.